Okay, so we're doing is, I guess it's on page Chaf Tas. So we need a little bit outside for starters. Chaf Tas. Okay. So we've been doing for a few weeks. Okay? Which it's not that important if you've been doing for a few weeks. But we've been doing for a few weeks. It's a pretty long piece here. Where? Let me see. You hear me okay? So the Rashba, basically, there was some Christian guy who was asking the Rashba about the Christians hold that the mitzvahs are knocked out at some point in history. Right? They don't do mitzvahs, right? But they held by the Torah, by Sinai, but they held that, I guess, at some point, Jesus or whatever knocked them out, said that God changed his mind, and therefore we don't do mitzvahs anymore. And we always say, no, the Torah is eternal, permanent, fixed, that's it. So they basically try to argue, and this guy is trying to argue that, no, you guys also agree that certain mitzvahs or whatever could also be knocked out, and there are rabbis who hold mitzvahs will be knocked out at some point, and therefore don't get upset at us that we're knocking out the mitzvahs. Okay, and they found three supports for their argument, three gemaras that seem to support their argument. And Rashba takes them apart one at a time. Okay, so we did two of them. So we have one left. Okay? So, I was just thinking, I mean, we can do the third one, but I was just thinking is that maybe before we even do that, we could just try to talk a little bit about the significance of the point altogether. Like, what's the import? Who cares? Like, is it just love? We just hold this permanent, because that's what we hold. Because God said so, or something like that, right? And they argue, and we're just showing, is this not true? Or is it like a fundamental question, or is it just like a factual argument? You know, like, what's the significance of it? Is it crazy, their position, to say that it changes? Is it like a fundamental to our whole belief system that it's permanent? I mean, it certainly is one of these yodos that it's always not going to change. But is that, what's the sense of that? Is that just a given? Or is there... Okay, what's the conceptual the backing of that position of ours? Yeah.
If it changes, there's not so much point to it. So one day you're doing this, another day you're doing that. It doesn't feel real. It doesn't feel right. If something is permanent, then it makes it feel more right, more certain. It makes it, even if it's something hard, it makes it easier to do, to focus on.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I hear you. But,
so if it's
yeah.
the truth, then it wouldn't change. I mean, that's like the definition.
Okay.
If the purpose of Torah is guidelines to help us perfect ourselves, then why would it change? It's
mm-hmm.
it's the guidelines, and
right.
it deals with human nature,
mm-hmm.
the way humans are, and humans going way back had the
right.
same...
Basic.
The same desires and faults and
right.
issues that they had to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
we're still
right.
Mm-hmm. And we're still dealing with the same taboos, the same
right.
What do you call it?
Fallacy.
I like
faults.
Fault. Yeah, I mean.
Right.
Just,
I understand. Okay, good. Good. Okay, good. So, I think it brings up, or is related to, an old question, which is that God told us to do the mitzvahs, right? And it's good for us to do the mitzvahs are the good, right? That's good for man to do the mitzvahs. So, is it that, two choices, okay, maybe you've heard this question, is it that the mitzvahs are good because God told us to, because God told us them? Or is it that the mitzvahs are good and therefore God told us them? Has God told us them because they're good, or they're good because God told us them? Follow the difference?
Can it be both?
It could be both, but which primarily? Because primarily, are they good intrinsically and then God is just revealing that to us? Or are they good because he told them. Intrinsically, they're whatever, but God told us them, and now it's good for us to do it because we should listen to God. You know, yeah.
I feel like some Jews think it's that God, they're good because God told us, but I really think that it's more that they're good so God told us to us, because that makes a lot more sense.
Right.
Like, that there are good things that help us build, so
right.
He's giving us a way to understand them, to do
right.
them, instead of just
right.
like, making them all of a sudden good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought there was like a Chazal or maybe a Rambam that Hashem really didn't need to be a
right.
certain of the mitzvahs.
Right.
Because it would be like a person thinking properly and
right.
in a, you know,
right.
advanced way could come to them on their own.
Right.
But maybe not all the mitzvahs, like certain.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay, and therefore you're arguing that they're good.
That they are good, yes. You're saying.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, to play devil's advocate here,
okay.
I think there's something to the concept of, you know how Alcoholics Anonymous and all those 12-step programs start with you have to acknowledge that there's a higher being, because otherwise you're not going to be able to go to the next step. So knowing that Hashem was the source of the mitzvos actually makes it something that is just objectively good for you. Because if you come from the idea that God wants what's best for us, then knowing that Hashem gave the mitzvahs because He wants what's best for us.
Right, but you're not arguing.
I'm not arguing with the fact that it intrinsically the mitzvahs are good.
Right.
I think it could be both. I think that intrinsically
right.
the mitzvahs are
right.
good,
right.
and also the fact that Hashem gave it to us makes
right.
it makes it.
No, that's correct. Well, that's correct. The fact
better.
That we know that God gave it to us. In other words, I'm not saying my question isn't in a given mitzvah. When I do it, do I think I see that as good, and therefore I do it, and it happens to be God gave it to me, or I do it because God said it? Yeah, of course. You don't understand the reason for a mitzvah. You know God gave it to you, and therefore you know that it's good. But my question isn't about motivation, about why you know what particularly moves you at a given time to do a mitzvah. It's about the reality of the mitzvahs. Is the reality of mitzvahs is God told us to eat kosher. Is it good to eat kosher because God said so, or is it that it's good for man to live a life of control or whatever, and therefore that's why God set up kosher? So it's not that He just set it up, and now since He set it up, it's good for you, because it's good to listen to God, but that in the mitzvah itself, there's actually something good about it.
But there's also, right, in the mitzvah itself, there's something good about it, and there's good in the way it was given to us by Hashem.
Yes.
That it's like almost like a parent who is imposing certain restrictions on a child,
yeah.
example of kashrus, because they know that that's going to be best for the child, but also the love that they're, you know, showing by giving them these restrictions is adding something to the like.
Right, that's true. That's true, but that's besides the point. I mean, it's true. There is something besides for it. But it's like kind of a parent says, you do this. Why? Because I said so.
Right.
So that's not really the right answer. I mean, it could be it's a valid thing to say to a kid in a certain circumstance. Kid is not really interested in understanding, it's not whatever, but that's not really the answer. Don't do it because I said so. Because why should I do it? Because he says, why did he say so? Just because? Like, why should it get, so why is it supposed to listen to that? Just because he said so? And then you say, because I have my own personal wishes and desires, I want you to serve me, or what? I don't know, whatever a parent could say, but that's not a legitimate reason for a kid to do something. Why? Because the parent has their own wishes and wants to gain satisfaction through the kid performing for everybody, and now therefore a kid should do it. Why should a child do that? So by a parent, that's what kids don't like it, when they sense that they're not really doing. A parent should be clear to a child that what a parent is doing is for the kid's own good, and the laws or rules which they set up. I mean, I'm not saying kids could always understand that, but I mean overall they have an overall sense that the parents are doing things for the child, not for the parent. You know, and so far as that's the case, the rules which are set up are rules which are good for the kid, and the parent makes them because they're good for the kid. They're not good for the kid because the parent made the rule, and now it's good for the parent kid to follow the parent. I mean, it is true that it's good for kids to follow parents, and that's overall a good thing, but the particular law, the reason why it's important for a kid not to go drink and driving or something, isn't because the parent said so, and that makes it bad. It's bad to drink and drive, and that's why the parent is saying it. The parent is the one who's telling the kid, informing the kid. The kid may not be intelligent enough and mature enough to realize that that's true, so the parent, you know, tells it to the kid. But what the parent is doing is telling the kid rules which are actually sensible and good for the child. You know, yes, now that that's the case, the child could use as an additional motivation, my parent said so, I know my parent loves me, I know my parent must be concerned, it's important to listen to my parents. Well, those are all, but those are secondary types of things. The main idea is that at its core, the parents' rules have a sense to them because they're good for me. And I think that's the right. I think Sarah's saying is true, is that oftentimes the people, religious people, perhaps in Torah as well, but I think religions at large, are that we should do follow God's will. Why should I do this? Because it's good, because it's God's will. That's the idea of submission to God. And and of course we do have an idea like that, that we do submission to God, but what is the good in doing these things? They're good because I'm submitting myself to God, and I do whatever God says no matter what, and therefore that is the ultimate, that's all of that, that's, and it's true, there is a value in that. That's what's tricky. There is a value in submission to God, because you have to realize you're human. But at the same time, we know, and this is what Torah holds, is that it's not just arbitrary things that God just made up things in some random, spun the dice and whatever landed on, told you to do, and now you just do them, and now it's good for you to just follow what God said. But the system the Torah says, the mitzvah of the tovlach, they're actually good for you. The particulars of the mitzvahs are good for you, and God constructed the Torah in a way that's based upon man's nature, and every mitzvah has benefits to man, and God's telling us to do them because they will benefit man, not just benefiting man that he listens to God. Okay, so like when I keep kosher, I'm benefited because now I have gained control over my taivas, my competitive instinct, and now I have more living like a man who acts based upon mine that doesn't just act compulsively. And that's good for me in my life in general, that I don't act compulsively, but I'm able to think before I act, in a general sense. You know, now, it's also good that I listen to God, because I realize that I'm small and God's great. That's true also. But at the core, the premise of studying Tamei HaMitzvos altogether, which all Rishonim do, is that there's Tamei HaMitzvos. It's not just God arbitrarily spun the dice and said it, which means you study what are benefits of mitzvahs. It means God gave us these things which are actually beneficial. In theory, you can just reduce everything and say, oh, the benefit is you listen to God. The benefit of that, you listen to God. The benefit of that, you listen to God.
Can I ask a theoretical question on that?
Yes.
So if someone were to raise a child,
yes,
without ever mentioning God or a higher power of any kind, and they just taught them the Targum mitzvahs, obviously not the Targum mitzvahs that relate to God, although there are many that relate to God, you know, loving God, fearing God, not having any other gods.
Right.
But if someone were to teach them the system of Tariag mitzvot without any mention of God, they would derive the same benefit from the mitzvot without that?
Well, first of all, I don't think they'd be able to do that, because I'm not saying that we understand how every mitzvot is good for us. I'm just saying that it is the case. You know what I mean? So, like, you may not understand. For instance, a doctor gives you a medicine to take. You don't understand how it's good. And if you never would tell, let's say, you're a child, you're giving the medicine, you know? If you never tell your child, the doctor said so, and you just try to explain to them the chemistry, they're never going to get it. They're never going to believe you. It's just not going to work. So you'll say, the doctor said so. But you know that the doctor, in fact, is saying that which is good for you. So the same thing is, I don't know if you'd practically be able to explain to your kid why he should be doing every single mitzvah and all the details of the mitzvah. So there's tons and tons of details and tons of mitzvahs, and each one is a deep study, and there's no way we could figure out. We'd be able to come up with them on our own. I mean, maybe some of them, basic things, but even things like killing, don't kill, don't steal, there are a lot of details which we would never come up with. So I'm not claiming that we could discover the Torah, or we could write the Torah. I'm just claiming that, in fact, the Torah is given for man's good. But it's part of man's good is to know that God exists. I mean, that is part of what's good for man. It's not because God said so, it's because, in fact, God does exist, and man has to, I mean, it's good for man to recognize reality. But it's not because God said so. It's because God, I'm not saying forget about God. I'm saying forget that God commanded us to do it. It's not, that's because in reality God exists and it's good for man to realize God and to deny falsehood. So therefore you have to accept God and then deny Avodah Zarah. Not because God commanded you. God commanded you because it's good for you to know that God, that the ultimate reality is God. So I'm not saying leave the word God out of it. I'm saying you could leave the word out because that God said so. But you can't really, because the other point I was saying is that you wouldn't be able to convince somebody of all the things. Certain things you could say, so you could see the benefit of God. Could you see why it has to be this animal, why that animal, whatever. Certain things you can't see, certain things are beyond us to be able to get into the details. But that's the idea of studying Tamei Mitzvos, what Shorashei Mitzvos, what Sefer Chinuch calls them, because you just see that whenever you study Mitzvos, you do see how there are benefits which accrue to a person by, you know, and that's where then you gain confidence that this Mitzvah selection process by God was done with great care and precision in order to give man the best life. Answering your question? Okay, so far so good? Okay. So how is that related to this? How is that related to this? See, one second. So the problem with the other way is if you say that they're good because God said so, it makes them, it's just like arbitrary.
Like what?
Arbitrary.
Arbitrary.
There's nothing about them which is good. It's just that, first of all, there's nothing about them which is good. And what's the point? Because if you say here the point is because it helps man, these are things which are good for man. Otherwise, it's just like, look, God said so, we'll have to make God happy. See, if you have an idea of God, make God happy, then look, God said things, whatever he wants. He wants you to serve him, and therefore he told you to serve him, and therefore we do it for him, you know? That kind of thing. It's like God said so, and therefore we just do what he said, and, you know, but there's no, see, they're empty. There's a certain emptiness and arbitrariness to mitzvahs if you don't say that there's a reason or they're good for man, but intrinsically. You'll just say they're good because God said so. But then you're just left with all these rules that God's just saying all these different things, which have no... Yeah.
I mean, that's true. I hear what you're saying about there being a certain like emptiness to the mitzvot in that case. But if you believe that God is a reality, then, I mean, you could say that anything that God wants us to do is like part of what's like appropriate for man in his in the reality that God created. Like...
That's true. I'm not saying...
It's more like a blind, kind of concept,
right.
But like...
Right.
It doesn't make him as well completely arbitrary. It still makes him the word of God.
No, but I'm saying the particulars are arbitrary. What I'm saying is that there's not a sense to following them, but it's in your mind is very unsatisfied by the whole thing. It's just like God somehow just came up with all these things. We don't understand them, but he wants us to do them because... And now that's God's will, so now we have to just blindly follow as well. Now... If that were the case, it could be, if there was Sinai and God gave us, and we knew that God existed and he gave us these mitzvahs and we had no clue what was up with them and whatever, it could be still, it would make sense to follow them because, you know, and I don't know, we probably would still think they're good for us somehow, but even if we didn't know that, I guess, what are you going to do? But it's a lesser system, certainly.
That's how most people deal with chukim. You just say you have to do it because...
That's true. Well, I'm not saying, again, that's my point, but, see, I think it might be true to do that with chukim, but I think is that since you know from all the other mitzvahs that there's a reason, so you say in a chok, even though you don't understand that, you know that, in fact, it is good for you, and you don't understand the particular. That's an intelligent thing to say. Right. Just like a doctor, you may understand half the things the doctor tells you, and the other half of them, you'll say, look, I don't understand, I just know he's a smart doctor, and I'm going to follow it because... I know from the other things which I see that he's intelligent. So that's the rational thing to say. You know, but if you had zero insight whatsoever in all the mitzvahs, if you knew they all had zero benefit, there was no anything, it just, God said so because. And that's what Zohar said. Do it because I said so. So, I mean, again, I don't know if you'd have a choice, because if you knew God said so, you knew God existed, I guess you'd probably have to do it. And given, you know, given that he is God and he's the source of everything, I would think that would be, I think that's what you'd have to do, but it would be an empty system.
Empty from the perspective of man, because
but we are man.
Right.
We are man.
So that makes it that much more precious that Hashem gave us the reasons for some of the mitzvahs, because He geared the system towards the needs of man. Man is rational. Man wants to know reasons for things.
Correct. And I think it's not only that, is that I don't think any religion actually says that. Just do it because God said so, and why he says so, that's it. It always ends up because you're pleasing God. Because, like, I don't think the person could ever think of it as just, I'm doing it because, blah. It's God said so, and just stop there. God said so, and it's good for me, is one answer. God said so, and you'll make him happy. He wants you to. He wants you to serve him. He wants you to this. He wants you to that. It makes him feel happy. But that's
reward and punishment that they dangle in most religions, which...
Right. But that depends. That could be looked in two ways, though. That could be looked at as because God, you want to make God happy, and if you don't make God happy, then he's going to punish you. Then it becomes like that type of a religion, you know?
Right.
And you could have reward and punishment. Our Torah, we also have reward and punishment, but that's...
Their version of punishment is burning in, you know...
Right. Right.
Fire and brimstone or whatever.
Right. Right.
For eternity.
Right. Yeah, okay, good. So how does this relate to our question? Yes.
Because, I mean, if you think about it, that it's just from God, you have to do it, then it makes a lot of sense that God could change his mind.
Right.
It's like, if it doesn't really matter, he's just saying, go do it, and why can't you just be like, okay, do this now?
Right.
But if you're saying that these are good for you, then you wouldn't want to change it, because if they're good, then they're good, and they're not going to be changing.
Right, exactly.
So then the Christians are like, I mean, basically they're arguing to either God gave it so they're good, or they're good so God gave it.
Right, exactly. If it were the case, if it's true, the Torah is good for you, the mitzvahs are good for man, so then it's good for man to have 613 mitzvahs. That's what God told us at Sinai. Then what happened after? All of a sudden, 1,000 years later, it's not good for man. That's it. Change of plans. Man, all of a sudden, is different. That's it. Now it's good for man to just do confession and accept Jesus, and that's it. Like, what happened? It's a massive change. Is that there's no massive change in man. So how'd that happen? That doesn't really make any sense. But if you were to say that it's just because God said so, that's what he wants. So then you say, okay, so he changed his mind. Whatever. God said, you know, it's what he wants, and he wants this, and he wants that. The whole thing's arbitrary anyway, so then you can just kind of change things, and there's no philosophical problem with that. You know, it's just whatever God says. He said this now, he said that now, he said this now. It makes the mitzvahs empty, you know? So we hold that the mitzvahs have a sense to them. So since mitzvahs have a sense to them, it's God's blueprint for man that he gave us once to be a law, a system for eternity. Because man, like you were saying, man is essentially his nature is fixed. So like these small changes, whatever, but essentially man's nature is what it is. And God designed the system, which we live for all generations, to be the best way for man to live. And it's a guide for him to be able to live in a way which is good for him. So now, that being the case, it doesn't make any sense that all of a sudden it's going to change. Because that is the perfect guide that God set up for man. Right? But they don't hold that whole premise. They by knocking it out, you're making it like it's an arbitrary thing. God just said it, and he's like fickle, and he changes, and it comes down to the core of what the religion is. The whole idea of the religion is that if you're just pleasing God, so then God changes, God this, God that. It's based upon the reality of mitzvahs being good, so then that doesn't really make sense to say it's changing. Good? Now, it kind of brought up to me, I was just thinking of one point, which might be interesting regarding this. It's like, there are certain mitzvahs. Like, what do you say about this? I'm not sure if I know the answer, but like the Rambam says, certain mitzvahs were designed based upon ancient idolatrous practices. Okay, like, the idolaters used to cook a cow and it's the milk of its mother, a calf and the milk of its mother, and in order to obliterate such practices, so the Torah forbade us from eating milk, or things like that. He holds that was like a reason, a basis of certain prohibitions. Okay? Now, you could say some of those things may still exist in some part of man or whatever, but certain things seem to be, perhaps, based upon historical things, which was the Torah was successful in obliterating. through the fact, I mean, we benefit greatly that it was obliterated, because now we don't live in that world because it was obliterated, and man rose up out of the primitivism, which is due to the Torah. To knock that stuff out. We're part of a nation that's got rid of that stuff a long time ago. And that's a great benefit to us. So I'm not saying that you know, we have to, I'm not questioning that it's good to have a mitzvah like that. It's important to have a mitzvah like that because man, the Torah was given at a certain time and a time where a man was steeped in Avodah Zarah and all that. So therefore, it's important to have that in Torah. But, well, let's say one were to argue, so why can't that change? Because they're saying man's nature doesn't change. Essentially, he always needs to control his instincts and this and that and the other thing. But I mean, certain mitzvahs are designed based upon particular tendencies in man at a particular time. So let's say someone would try to argue that that's not what Christianity is saying. They're saying is the whole thing is whatever. But which says, let's say someone would argue, look, a mitzvah like that, why do we still need to have that?
Maybe it's because, like, even though that particular tendency is no longer around,
right.
Like the tendency toward Avodah Zarah certainly is around. And so these mitzvos help, like, move man to a place where they don't have a tendency toward Avodah Zarah. So while it looks like a particular behavior or an activity,
right.
It, like, creates a sort of focus for man that he's not, like, prone toward those particular
right.
types of activities. It's almost like the vaccine concept. Like, we don't not get polio nowadays just because polio is, like, expelled or whatever from the
right.
culture. It's
because
right. you'll create, if you allow the particular thing, you'll create, like, a breeding ground for it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think maybe it's just, like, to remind us not to do something like that. It might be that then it's, like, a particular, but now it could be more, like, a general, like, we used to be like that, but maybe there's not that particular, but there's still things that are like that that can be applied to that.
Mm-hmm.
Similar. Yeah.
Right.
Maybe not even similar, I don't know.
But also, it's interesting, you do find that, like, despite man's proneness to practicing Avodah Zarah, once the particulars are, like, taken care of, you don't find man, well, maybe you do actually, like, searching for other ways to, like, not with it, like, outside of that particular, to, like, do a Avodah Zarah.
Well,
so maybe it helps to have, like, particular things that you can't do that help just completely refocus the energy.
Right. You're saying you do find people turning towards
Avodah Zarah? Yeah, I'm kind of thinking about it. Like, we do find people are, like, prone toward Avodah Zarah, and even with the prohibitions against particulars, they find ways to, like, participate in it.
Right.
Like,
in
light of Avodah
Zarah. Right. Right. Right.
But that really goes to the point that maybe it makes no sense to forbid the particulars, because...
Right.
The same time as we were raised from being primitive and the, you know, the obvious of all desires are not around so much anymore, but also we lost Nebuah, and we don't have open miracles. So at the same time, the fact that Hashem is so hidden from us in this world makes people grasp at things that are superstitions or you know, astrology or whatever it is, because everything is uncertain. You don't know what your future is. You don't know what God intends for you. So you still have people that are searching for answers and turning to things that are types of Avodah Zarah. It's not the same thing as eating, you know, cooking a calf in its mother's milk because you believe that that's going to bring you that's a sacrifice to some kind of higher being or whatever it was that they were doing it for.
Right.
But people are still turning to that kind of thing because they have the insecurity of not knowing.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Similar types of practices for sure still exist. Yeah. Okay, good. So there's a few answers, I think. Well, one answer is essentially what you guys are saying, that although the particulars don't...
Have you ever gone to... I'm sorry, the interruption. Have you ever watched people who play bingo or go into a casino and play the slot machines?
They have all kinds of crazy
quirks, and they really believe that doing things in a certain way...
Right.
I'm not kidding. Like, one of my coworkers, who I consider to be a pretty rational person...
Wow.
Told me her mother is very much into slot machines, and she goes to the casinos in Atlantic City, and she has her routine because she thinks if she the slot machine, I didn't even know this, they tell you if the last person before you had any winnings and how much they won, so they pick which machine to go to based on whether the last person won anything, as if that's going to make their odds any better.
Right.
And then they do certain things like waving their hands. I don't know. They have their good luck charms and their
sports players have that also. Huh?
They do the yeah. So I mean, like now everybody's talking about March Madness and the brackets.
Right.
It's crazy. Like they do all these wacky things because they think that's going to help their team win.
Yeah, right. For sure.
Unless you're in on the court with the basketball, you're not helping that team win.
Yeah, for sure.
And then you're really not.
And they're really convinced that doing this a certain way is actually going to make that team win.
For sure. It's true.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, this stuff is all over the place. For sure. So that's the one answer, is that even though the particulars of meat and milk or whatever no longer exist, but there are tons of particulars which always exist in every generation, and it's man's nature to be looking for this type of thing. You know, man's insecure and he's looking for different magical, superstitious worships, whatever, which will help bring him, and his fantasy wishes will help bring him some sort of security and protection. And it's important that the Torah has these things, because that's what the Torah is about. Preventing us from eating meat and milk, but about learning about meat and milk and about learning about all the different prohibitions of the Torah. And when we study them, we see the nature of the particular tendencies that man has, and we realize that ours may be different in particular, but overall, essentially, they're the same. So it teaches us the importance. When you read through the Rambams and you see all the mitzvahs tied in with the Vodzara, it shows you how significant the Vodzara is, and it causes you to think into yourself. And we all have these tendencies, and we have to uproot them. Different tendencies towards this type of thinking, although they may be in more subtle forms, and we may have to spy on ourselves in order to discover our own tendencies of such natures. But it's part of, they naturally do creep into our unconscious works by these type of wishful types of thinking. So that's one reason, is that the Torah doesn't knock them out, because that man's nature doesn't change. And the particular, God set up a particular meat and milk, because that was the particular thing of the people at that time, and it was important at that time to stop them from doing that particular thing. Right? He's not going to at that time make a law against some modern day astrology or whatever. I mean, there's astrology, different things, you know, but that was part of the thing. It was designed at that time, but it doesn't mean, therefore, it doesn't cast light towards the future that we could learn from and incorporate into our lives. Right? So that's one good answer. So that's basically going back to what we said before, is that man essentially doesn't change. That's not a real change, although maybe mankind at large isn't as base and primitive in our idolatry. We're not, but whatever. Still far, you see how widespread these types of thinking are, in all walks of society, in all religions, and all everything, right? They're everywhere. Okay, another thing is, I have two other reasons. Another good point is that the question comes up by, and this is a famous question, it's good to know the answer to it, but it's like, you're not allowed to take medicine on Shabbos because the Rabbanan said the medic is Arab, because if you do, then you're going to come to grind. That's what they do, grind medicine. They used to grind medicine, so if you take medicine, then they're coming to grind, and things of that sort. Can't ride a horse because you may rip off a branch off the thing and you may whatever. Different zeros that were made, So people say, look, nowadays we don't grind medicine. I mean, maybe they do in some factory or whatever, but it's not really reasonable to say that a guy is a particular Jew who has a headache, he's going to take medicine, he's going to start grinding medicine. It's not the kind of thing that happens. Right? Okay, so the thing is maybe some people still grind medicine, but whatever. The point is that there are certain zeros which seem to be out of date. And what's the deal? Why do I have to worry about that, mm-hmm. Or, which is a similar question, maybe easier to answer, as I've heard people reason, is that there's a sort of what's it called? Bishlakam. Bishlakam, you can't eat food which is cooked by a guy, okay, because of chasnos, it will lead to intermarriage. Okay, that's why it was set up, So the person, someone I knew is an old guy, and he had a live-in, person taking care of him, and he says, what, I'm going to come to marry her? It's crazy, right? Mm-hmm. Things like that. So why can't I, what's the sense of that halacha applying in this case,
And then he married her. I'm just kidding.
No, it's not different. Or like yichud. Sometimes yichud, people reason like that with yichud. You're telling me like this old, you know, the young guys with this or whatever. Some old woman in the house, and he's telling me, what's the chash? What am I worried about? What's the, you know, like there are cases, you know, things like that. See, but the, so what's the answer to all these kinds of questions?
In those, like, it's the rare cases that they're with, like, someone old. There are plenty of times that there were these things, and they would, then it could lead to stuff.
Right.
So, like, that's where, but, I mean, with Shabbos, it still doesn't make as much sense, because, yeah, then it used to be that the rare case would, I mean, like, everyone would have brought them. Now, it's not. Like, and now it's the rare case.
Right. So, that's a harder question.
So, Shabbos don't really get the other ones, it makes sense, because, yeah, they're kind of like, so why do I, why can't I eat with my living like, nurse?
Right.
But there are plenty of situations where other people, like the majority of people, would go out to lunch and eat with an Jew and maybe do more and could be.
So does it
make sense? Okay, good. Isn't there a concept al ad yom oscha, that even if you think that you you can
control yourself
in a situation that you're above whatever it is that the mitzvah is there for, you never know what...
That's true. Okay, so I think that that's a good point also. But I think you could concoct a situation which is really not really reasonable to assume something's going to happen. You know, whatever. You could argue the case. You know,
but the Torah isn't asking you to be beyond what's reasonable.
What? Yeah, you mean these things aren't... reason. Yeah, right. Right. But I think the answer is that, and this is what Sarah was getting at, I think is that, and we have to get it explained by Shabbos, but I think is the Torah is a system. It's a legal system. And you can't have a legal system that allows a person to reason and say, I don't think the law should apply to me now.
Like, when someone, say, kills someone because they're a bad person.
Yeah, right. So, exactly. Like, yeah, right. You can't just let people kill people because they think they're bad. Even though maybe there should be true that bad people should be killed, but you just can't allow that in the system. Killing is illegal. And you can't allow people to speed when they think it's safe. Because they think someone's around, and I'm a really safe driver, and I'm not going to do anything. Or I know that this girl and me, it's just nothing's going to happen, because I know. You know, I know, I don't even like her, whatever. Like, you can't just, once laws lend themselves to people reasoning that it doesn't really apply to me in this case, then there goes the law. Right? No one thinks these laws apply to them or make sense by them. Everyone has an explanation of why it's not really appropriate here. But the idea is that you have to have a fixed system of laws, because that's the way these things work. The Torah has a fixed system, and a system demands no exceptions, otherwise it's not a system. Once you start having exceptions, or it could have exceptions, but they have to be objectified, clear cut, built into the law itself that it doesn't apply in so-and-so cases. So you take medicine on Shabbos if you're not full of Mishkav, if you're bedridden, or, you know, whatever the case is, or if it's Sakana, or whatever. These things are built into the system. But just to have it that you could reason that I don't grind, and therefore I'm not going to do it. Yeah, you don't grind, but maybe tomorrow you will, or maybe who knows. You know, the idea is that, and to have it, and also to have it that, look, you can't grind because you will reward you're going to grind. But then, like, different people, different societies, different things, they do grind. So the point is that the way laws are made, and this is Darabonans also, is they're incorporated into the fixed system of the Torah. So Shabbos, for instance, there's an idea of Shvisa on Shabbos, and Darabonan said you can't take medicine. They extended the Shvisa of Shabbos to include medicine, because medicine will lead to whatever. But now that's part of the legal system of what Shabbos is and what it means to be Shabbos on Shabbos. The reason, is because of medicine. But the point is that it becomes incorporated into the system of the halacha, and that's not negotiable. It doesn't become something that just falls away, or it's not built in. The reasoning of the thing isn't built into the system, because systems which have reasons built in aren't really systems. They're just ethical codes or whatever. It's not a system of laws. Yes.
So you know you can't have fish and meat together?
Yes.
So, I mean, we do have fish and meat together.
Right. Okay, so that's a good question. So that's not a halacha. You know, there are certain things in Gemara's, like Gemara's oftentimes have health things. For instance, Gemara's talk about how to do a surgery and things, and there's the Tanaim and Amoraim were up on these signs of their times. and including health, different, you know, different things about health, different things about science and astronomy and whatever. And so therefore they give science advice, medical advice at times.
People have said to me, they're like, yeah, of course it doesn't apply now, but we still do it because they said to. So like,
right. Well, I think you have to know how to learn, and you have to know how to go through a Gemara and to know when something is a halacha and it's part of the system of Targum Mitzvos and part of the, you know, part of like a formalized halacha versus medical advice which is found in the Gemara. So as medical advice is found in the Gemara, it's not codified as a halacha. And as such, it doesn't have it's not binding. But if there is something which is codified as such, then it doesn't, you know, that wouldn't change. But I don't think that's the case. You know, if the Rabbanu made a gezeira because of the good thing, but you don't have to make a gezeira. There's a deraisa of a shemar to maslan shesech. You have to guard your life and you have to be careful with your life. And the Rabbanu at any door are going to tell you what you should and shouldn't do. You know.
There seems to be that there are cases where the Gedolim of our generation argue whether it is a halacha,
perhaps,
or it was just something that in the Gemara was talking about for health reasons,
right.
Like
okay.
Mitzitza b'peh.
Right.
So I've heard. I recently read an article about mitzitza b'peh that.
Right.
Because there were some children that contracted diseases from
right.
Moal, that it should be it should not only, I mean, if it puts a child at risk,
right.
Then it should be forbidden.
Right.
It should be a required part
mm-hmm.
of the
right.
of the bris milah,
right.
But it should actually be forbidden.
Right. Yeah. So for sure, I'm not saying these things aren't necessarily clear cut, and you could have arguments about whether they are or aren't. But the argument is not whether or not the Torah is a fixed system. The argument is whether certain things are part of that fixed system or just something actually advice. So that's like a particular. You know, each one is a particular thing. But the idea is that, but like certain things to take medicine is definitely a gezeirah and is part of the fixed system, is part of Shabbos. You know, the idea of basa v'chalav, and that's what I'm coming back to, is that if the Torah was knocking out of a Zara, it couldn't just say, you're not allowed to eat meat and milk as long as you still have idolatrous tendencies. I mean, that's not a law. You know, there's another system was being set up. God was setting up a system which is Ladoros. And as such, there has an absoluteness to the mitzvahs. So, even if it were the case that it was something, like I think even if you wouldn't have your first answer, which is a good answer also, which is that, you know, it's still relevant to us practically because, you know, because it affects us and all that. We have the ideological tendencies. But even if not, let's say it would go away, you know, no relevance to us after 200 years, it would be wiped out. But you couldn't make a law for 200 years because the law has to have, once the law has like an end to it or it's conditional, then it's not a good law. You know, the system doesn't work insofar as it's made like as with exceptions built in. So if that's the case, it has to be made in a permanent way. Now, once that's the case, now we have to keep it because that's we have the benefit of having the Torah and having a society which is removed from idolatry to the extent that it is because of the fact that God set up the Torah. So now you can't now say, oh, now we don't need that law anymore. Because the reason why we even have what we have is because the law was in there and the law had to be in a way which is permanent. You follow me?
Yeah, maybe it's like to a fault that you can't have a system that would allow the release of laws that are really truly irrelevant. I mean,
perhaps we have to think about it, but if something's impossible, it's not really a fault. You have to think if a system could have. I'm claiming is that
impossible.
What?
What do you mean if it's impossible? Like,
well, it's not a system anymore. As if you say is that man's nature is such that once you make a law that would have an exception like that. So then man's going to jump on the exception and it's not going to work to
but like
it's,
to Sarah's point, there's cases where truly it's like the concept is eliminated and there's cases where it's just like where the person is saying, oh, I don't really need Yuchud because I'm don't even like that person. Then that person is just a particular person and there's definitely cases where the law should still exist. But there's other situations, I don't think the pill one is a good one, but there's other situations where, like, it truly is.
Yeah, I understand that, but then you have to know, in terms of the construct of the system of the Torah, I mean, the Torah is factors which it's considering in building the system. And, it could be the perfection of the Torah is such that it doesn't have exceptions and doesn't have things which fall away. And I mean, it has to admit to see what's the most perfect system. And just because it's true, it would be nice if you could envision a system which would have things fall away that way. But it doesn't mean that because there's something not nice, something unattractive about having a system with something that doesn't really belong anymore. At the same time, you'd have to study, well, what would the system look like if you would have laws that would have, mechanisms to drop them out? And the Torah is the most perfect system. So what I'm saying is that it's not, there's something which you get, which you lose by making a system that has, I mean, you have to work out in terms of halachic formulations, how are you going to build that into the formulation exactly? Right. That when it's, that's what I'm claiming. In terms of the way the system is constructed, it doesn't lend itself to that. It doesn't have things like that, and it doesn't lend itself to that type of thing. You can make it a different system, but I think you lose more than you're gaining by having this. Because I don't know how many cases there are like that. I don't know if there are. But if there are, there may be a few isolated instances like that. It could be by allowing those types of then all laws would have to be formulated like that. So now you're going to have just a much uglier system because you want to avoid those few instances.
Actual 613 missiles, the bill was not applying anymore because, the medicine was from the rabbis.
Yeah,
it's
right.
One thing to say that someone from the rabbis
is
not applying, and then technically, you could take it away
right.
And get a basin. But, is anything from the Torah?
I don't know. See, the problem is in the Torah.
613 only applied to Kohanim and some of them.
That's a different thing.
That applies to somebody. I'm saying, is there anything really that doesn't apply at all anymore?
Right. Well, I may have things no base mix, but there will be a base mix, so
no,
that doesn't count
either.
Right. Well, that's another tricky problem. See, another tricky problem is, this is maybe a third answer I was going to say, is that mitzvahs are, I don't think you can ever say this is the reason for the mitzvah. Like, even Basav HaChalav. Right? One of the reasons for the mitzvah is because of idolatry. Another is that it's part of man controlling his appetites, and that he could eat meat, he could eat milk, but he has to watch out when keeping kosher kitchen has to do with eating meat and milk. So there's I'm sure different rishonim have different reasons for it. So it's not like a mitzvah has one reason, and that one reason is there, and I will say, look, it doesn't apply anymore, because any mitzvah you can have, we can never fathom the full depth and know all the reasons behind the mitzvah. So that's why. So your question, I don't know if you could ever say, oh, that's it, this mitzvah doesn't apply. Yeah, one reason might not apply, but I don't think the Rambam's claiming that's the only reason and the only thing. When God sets up a law, he builds into it some different reasons, and those may, even though a primary reason, which the Rambam happens to pick may not be applicable, doesn't mean that the law doesn't have other reasons which still are applicable.
But it's kind of you could always go back to the reason, because God gave it.
That's true. You could, but I don't think you have to. I mean, you could always. That's might also be part of it, but I don't think you have to, because you study mitzvahs, different rishonim, all of their different approaches. And God's chachma is such is that mitzvahs benefit us in many different ways. And God built that into the mitzvahs. And look, it could be also part of the thing is, another thing is it's good for us to be following halacha. And it's not arbitrary because there was a reason, but now there still is a benefit to it that we're following the halachic system. And even though from the beginning to say that God arbitrarily chose it, that would be an empty system. But now, if God set up a system which for a reason, and now we still do it, there's still a benefit that they were involved in halacha, and we're using our minds and how we eat and all, So that's why my point is, a lot of mitzvahs have, it's not like when man designs something, it's usually with one reason in mind. When God designs things, there's multiple reasons in mind. And just because even if one thing would be knocked out, it says, well, Rabbanim, maybe it could be for one reason. And that's why it's more concrete. This is why they said don't take medicine, and therefore that doesn't apply nowadays. So that's the way Rabbanim work, because they're human beings. But when God's saying, you don't know the one reason, it's like that. So there's lots of benefits besides for those individual things. Yeah. Okay, so that's... But I think the main point with the Christian argument, though, I mean, these are because it's a related question about the mitzvah, the idolatry mitzvahs or whatever. But the main idea from the thing, his point, is that the mitzvahs are a system which is for man's benefit, based upon man's nature, and the Christians can't maintain such a thing because it doesn't make any sense to just all of a sudden obliterate all the mitzvahs at one point in time. That's ridiculous. So their whole system is doing what God said because it makes God happy. It makes God this, it does that. God changed his mind, now God doesn't need it, now God loves you. God. And it was, they're into the words, and idolatry is all about, you know, you're doing them for God, and you're helping God this, and you're helping God that, and then you can change them. But based upon our idea of Torah, the whole thing, the whole idea of knocking them out is, doesn't make sense. Okay, so maybe we'll do is, maybe next time, or whenever, we'll continue. We still have this last part. There's one more part, one more of the third argument which we haven't done yet. So perhaps we'll go on.